This is Money Beat from the Wall Street Journal. Now from our studios in New York, here are Paul Vigna and Stephen Grosser.
Stock market continues to hit records. Dow Jones Industrial Average closing over 23,000 for the first time. How do you, dear investor, value that? Welcome to the Money Beat podcast. I'm Paul Vigna.
I'm Stephen Grosser.
So Dow 23,000, does it mean anything? Stephen Grosser, does it mean anything?
I mean, it means a lot less than it used to, or the 1,000-point moves. But it is interesting that this is the fourth, millennial marker that we've crossed this year. That has never happened before. And, I mean, and partially that is because 1,000-point moves aren't what they used to be. But that's still notable. The most we've ever had in a previous year was two. So four is, you know.
So the stock market is going
double
up.
That.
These indexes are increasing. We don't have to tell you that. That's not news. The question is, what does it mean? How do you value that?
And I think the bigger question when you're talking about 23,000 is where are valuations right now? And the fact that this came 30 years after the 1987 crash, when people were worried about valuations as well, and the market had marched higher, and that October has also been a time when markets peak and it crashes.
Right. The question is, what are these numbers are telling you? How do you value the market? And to do that, we were lucky enough to get a few minutes with a man who knows more about valuations than probably anybody, Professor Robert Shiller, Yale University, notable economist. Everyone knows him. Famous for his CAPE ratio, the cyclically adjusted P.E. ratio.
And I think the key part of this that we haven't gotten into is that we taped this earlier in the week. We went down to the NYSE and we talked to him at the floor at the capital of the headquarters of capitalism. To talk to him.
Right. So we are going to give you now that interview with Robert Shiller down at the NYSE. He was down there celebrating the fifth anniversary of the partnership he had with Barclays to create a series of indices based upon his CAPE ratio. So here is our interview with Professor Robert Shiller from the NYSE, where we asked him about his CAPE ratio and the indices that were built by him and Barclays based upon it.
Okay, well, the CAPE ratio, you know where it started? John Campbell, my student, and I first published it in 1988. But I took a look to see if I could find any reference to the general idea earlier. And I found an article in the Wall Street Journal, 1911, that had a close idea. The idea is that we typically measure value by price-earnings ratio. But the problem, if we use earnings only over 1 year. And 1 year is too short. I mean, sometimes a good firm can have a bad year, right? Or the whole market, there could be an economic recession and last a year or more. That doesn't tell you. The stocks are long-run investments. So you don't want to expect stock prices to fall in a recession. That's not right. So we just picked a 10-year average. Lo and behold, the Wall Street Journal had one article in 1911 that said that. Then the next thing was Graham and Dodd, who published in 1934 in their securities analysis. Offhandedly, they too said, maybe you want to smooth earnings over 5 or 10 years. But nobody ever picked it up, you know, and nobody ever did a real careful statistical analysis. So Campbell and I looked at it. We didn't know that anyone had ever proposed it. We kind of rediscovered the idea. But we found that it works in predicting long-run return, not short-run returns.
Okay. I have to ask, how did you come across an article from 1911 in the Wall Street Journal?
Well, this was before your cell phone would do it. You can do it on your cell phone now. But I actually had to go to the microfilm room at Yale Library.
Wow.
And it worked. It's still there, too. But it's a little bit tedious to go picking up these reels of film and putting them in a film reader.
So I guess the question is, 5 years ago, how did you come about launching these indices with Barclays?
Well, I met people at Barclays through other... I had another business at that time, and they were interested in CAPE, not what we had to sell at them. But that's what you do in life. You find out what's really important by listening to what other people say they want. And I think Lawrence Black, among others there, just looked at the statistics Campbell and I had shown. Also, our outperformance was based on data back to 1871, okay? Not many anomaly seekers use data that far back. So, I mean, it doesn't absolutely prove it, but we know this strategy has worked for well over 100 years.
Why do you think people don't use a longer-term horizon?
The year seems especially important because of the seasons and the school year. You just naturally, without even thinking, they don't even say. People will say, GDP grew at X percent. And they don't even say, are you talking quarterly or annually or decadally? It's just assumed. It's like we're our whole mind, it's probably in our brain program that the year means something. But that's another reason why I think, a couple other reasons. One is that our CAPE ratios tend to be higher because if you average over 10 years, mm-hmm. the earnings are usually growing. It makes the investment look expensive. People don't like to, they don't like to think something is expensive. And the other thing is that you can't compute CAPE for new companies because they haven't been around for 10 years. And even if they've been around, say, for 12 years or 14 years, it's not going to work well because most companies go through a startup phase and they're not going to have earnings at the beginning. Those are the reasons. Also because journalism, I'm talking to journalists now, they like to talk in terms that are familiar to people. You don't want to keep explaining I have something new.
Can you talk a little bit about how you use the CAPE ratio with the indices and, you know, choosing stocks and things like that?
There's different ways you could use CAPE. One of them is to allocate between equities and cash. Another one is to allocate between countries. Another one is to allocate between individual stocks. And the other one, which we're talking about today, is to allocate between sectors. We started with a sector index. First of all, sectors go way back. We have data. We have their earnings data. And we think they will behave. The original work I did with Campbell was on countries. In value investing, what makes a stock depart from the true value would be some kind of stories. For example, there was a railroad boom. You heard of this in the 1840s. There was another one in the 1830s, but there was a big one in the 1840s, and then lots of smart people got... Charles Darwin lost a fortune.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be a smart guy, but he goofed up. And so, but railroads were... They used to write poems about trains, I mean, or songs, you know,
songs.
Folk
yeah,
songs.
Yeah,
it penetrates the psyche in an important way. So we think that sectors develop a spirit of their own, and they get overpriced or underpriced.
That was the first half of our interview with Professor Robert Shiller from the NYSE. You are listening to Money Beat from the Wall Street Journal.
This episode is brought to you by Vanta. Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta's trust management platform helps you quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for SOC 2, ISO 27001, and more. Plus, save time by completing security questionnaires with Vanta AI. Learn how by watching Vanta's on-demand demo at vanta.com/WSJ. That's VANTA.com/WSJ.
For a new podcast experience, subscribe to the Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal. Now on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play Music. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.
Welcome back to MoneyBeat, Paul Vini and Stephen Grosser. Now let's continue our interview with Professor Robert Shiller. And, you know, Stephen Grosser, one thing I thought was interesting, and you mentioned this too when we were talking to him, is just how curious of a mind he has and how many different things he was willing to explore and bring into his sort of his thoughts on the markets. I thought that was really kind of fascinating when he did that.
Yeah, no, it was. I mean, I thought it was interesting. He was bringing in, like, you know, Charles Darwin and his investments
right.
in, like, railroads and the, you know, 150 years ago. Making those connections I thought was fascinating.
Yeah, and one of the things he started talking about was the importance of stories and narrative and how that fits into our perceptions. So that's actually what we're talking about right now. We're going to pick it up right there. Here's the second half of our interview with Professor Robert Shiller.
There are people who have suggested we should change the name of our species from Homo sapiens, which means wise man, to Homo narrator, the storytelling man. Stephen Jay Gould, scientist, suggested that. Because every human society tells stories, and they have favorite stories they love, and they tell them to the children, and the children carry them on. And you wonder, what is it? How about Aladdin and the Wonderful Lamp? What's so wonderful about that story? It's been around for 1,000 years.
Right.
Disney has picked it up. Isn't there something on Broadway?
I think there is, yeah.
What is it? Nobody really knows. This is, there's a human side. side that economists don't like to confront so much about the way we think in terms of stories.
I was just getting back to what you were talking about before the break in just sectors. And I wanted to ask you, obviously, the tech sector is getting a lot of attention, especially with the size of a lot of, you know, the five biggest companies by market cap now are tech companies. And they've had sort of an unprecedented run over the last few years. What do you think about their valuation as a sector? How overvalued has it become?
Actually, we are not so negative about the tech sector because even though the CAPE ratio for the tech sector is high, we have something called relative CAPE, which compares the CAPE today with the average CAPE in history for that sector. And the relative CAPE for the tech sector is not bad. There is a great story about tech, but somehow it's not as strong as it was, actually, for the whole sector in decades past.
Well, what's changed about it?
See, we never know. It's just like lots of people would like to know. Movie producers would love to know. I was just thinking, I just saw Dear Evan Hansen. It's the story. It doesn't even sound promising, but somehow it's engaging. This moment in history, the way people feel now, and some artists can do that, not reliably, you know, they'll have one hit. It tends to fade, though, and so we're talking about going viral, which is what Dear Evan Hansen has done, or is doing. It's not done yet, I think.
But one of the questions is, obviously, looking at the CAPE ratio, it's at, I think, the highest level. It's been, the only other times it's been higher was right before the dot-com bubble burst.
You're talking about the S&P 500 CAPE ratio?
Yeah. And also right before the stock market crashed in 1929. Do you feel that stocks are overvalued? Are you worried that our crash is coming, or do you feel like the market can continue to march higher? Because it just seems to march higher.
Yeah, these are unknowable, I think. There's something deep in the... But I think that the march higher that we've seen since the Trump administration has psychological underpinnings. And it's not just the U.S., but the U.S. really looks... We have the highest CAPE in the world. You know, I think that people like to dump on Trump, but he somehow is an inspiration at this point for the market. And I can't exactly explain that, but somehow he is.
The market was rising before Trump came in also.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it seems like there is a sort of larger, again, going to the point of narrative, there is a larger narrative going on with people who are buying stocks. And let's not kid ourselves, I think the Fed has a lot to do with that.
The central bank and the $7 trillion of money that's been pumped into the financial system, you look at it now and the S&P hasn't had a pullback of 3% or in almost a year, hasn't had a pullback of 5%. You look at, like, the bounce back in Puerto Rico municipal bonds recently. You look at, you know, after Brazil had its political crisis, the bounce back in the stock. It seems like, you know, people are rushing. As soon as something dips around the world at this point, people rush in and buy it. How much have central banks played a role in sort of propelling, you know, market higher? And also, is that a risk as they sort of now are changing their into tightening mode?
So with our ETN product, CAPE, that we're celebrating here, I think we wanted to stay away from trying to exploit the overall market, but looking at movements between sectors in the market. And that has been a great success. In the last 5 years, we've outperformed the stock market by 25%. If I could do that, you're bringing it back to Fed policy or something like that. I'm always trying to understand that. I don't find it as clear. We've got lots of sectors, and we can reallocate between sectors. They keep bouncing around. Public attention is capricious. You're describing it as I have to understand one thing, but actually we don't understand, and we just have a formula. We don't understand any of these movements, but we're looking at a lot of sectors. We have another product which we just launched in Canada now that looks at long-standing old stocks, old standbys. That's now on the, as of last week, on the Toronto Stock Exchange. There's a lot of different ways that value investing can bite. I think that there's a lot of attention to the national index just because you were just saying about the Dow. It's everywhere. It's up in lights on Times Square. So it just seems like the thing to talk about. But that's only one thing. We have many things that we can optimize over.
All right, so that's it. We went down to the NYSE. We talked to Robert Shiller. I hope you got a lot out of it, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you very much for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.